Welcome to another In Wheel Time podcast, a 30-minute mini version of the In Wheel Time car show that airs live every Saturday morning, 8 to 11 a.m. Central. Welcome back to the In Wheel Time car show. Let's get him, yeah. We're trying to get our next guest lined up here.
up and in the chair.
Yeah, it's, you know, these
it's your turn in the bucket.
Kind of fly by the seat of your pants deals. Hey, which
my pants are all wet.
Yeah, we know, and I'm not wearing any, so it's all good.
That's why he's an only child.
Yes. That's exactly right.
He's a homely child.
That, very much so.
Butterface.
But at any rate, let's start off the next hour. I don't have the music in here, so it's okay. We don't need it. We're good. So.
But welcome back for hour two.
Yeah, welcome back. From the 25th Annual Keels and Wheels Concours d'Elegance, this is the In Wheel Time Car Show. On today's expanded live show, we'll have celebrated guests, dignitaries, and participants at this weekend's concours.
And
we'll
us.
Also review our new car of the week, hopefully, the 2021 Mercedes-Benz AMG GLB 35. It is quite the long list of MLMB AMG GLB 35.
MOUSE.
Wait, who does that? Conrad will have his car clinic, we think. We'll have the stories making auto news headlines this week. We'll take a look at the events calendar and bring you this week's auto news headlines. That and more just ahead on today's live In Wheel Time car show for Saturday, May 1st, 2021. Today's show is sponsored by Bayway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Bayway Chevrolet, and Bayway Lincoln. Howdy, along with Mike Out of This World Mars, King Conrad DeLong, Jeff Zekin, and engineer David Ainsley, I'm Don Armstrong. So glad that you could join us today. We'd hope to have Bob Fuller on, but we can't get him up here on the podium because it's a bit of a challenge. But Bob Fuller was one of the co-founders of Keels and Wheels 25 years ago. And I know that he is here.
He's
wandering.
He's over here.
Right. Hi, Bob.
Staying
good
out of the rain.
Good to see you. Love you. But at any rate... So we've got somebody that just happens to be a friend of the show that we've known for a number of years. Name is Jeff Pate. Jeffrey, it's put that headset on, sir. It's good to see you. So I understand that you've become the title sponsor of the show.
Well, they stepped in. I stepped in. They needed a little bit of help. Bob was not in a good way. He's recovering well.
Yeah.
Yes, he is.
Yeah.
But... I brought the rain with me.
Thank you for that. Mm-hmm. We really appreciate it. You know, it's always a challenge. And we seem to be challenged at the events that we run into you at. Mm-hmm. The last one was Craig Bierman's event.
Well, I think the challenge is Craig, though, isn't it?
Well, yes, it always is. The Chrome and Coffee event, which is supposed to be tomorrow, by the way. And I don't know as if that's going to happen.
If the weather
cruise
will
in on a, yeah, on a Sunday. But, Jeff, it's good to see you. Please tell everybody, what is the company that you own so I don't screw this up?
I own Classic Cars of Houston.
Classic Cars of Houston. Mm-hmm. I knew it was classic something.
It is indeed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like me. Classic.
We're all getting there. Same train, different stop.
Different uh-huh. tracks.
Yeah, something like that.
So, good to have you. Good to see you.
Thanks.
I don't think I've ever seen you at this event before.
Well,
you've probably been here, but we haven't.
We haven't crossed paths here before, but we have other places.
This is true. This is true.
So Jeff is a guy that does high-end restorations. And I mean, so high-end restorations that it's way out of my ballpark. Way out. And he did a restoration several years ago. Of a Buick.
It's here.
Is it here?
It's here. I brought it for you.
Thank you.
Nice.
You knew I was going to be here. Is that it over there?
She's all wrapped up, but she's waiting for you.
And I will tell you, that car is absolutely stunning.
Yeah.
You know, my dad owned Buicks. He wasn't nothing like that Buick. That took you a couple of years to do?
Those take about 2 years. Our guys do about 80 of them at a time. So
what?
So
you're kind of moving between cars depending on what the next step is?
It's more like a short-run assembly line. And so they come in from all over the states. It's It's still global, but they come in from all over the country. They cycle time about 12 months to 18 months to do a full build. And there's about 80 of them running at a time.
And let's define what a full build is. That's a frame-off masterpiece.
If it has a frame.
Correct.
It's definitely, yeah. But it's a rotisserie, a nut and bolt.
Get you out of the rain.
Sorry. I was actually trying to make it realistic so people at home could actually hear the weather.
Uh-huh.
sorry. Too real.
We just didn't want you to get wet.
One of those little programs. But, yeah, they actually – it's a full rotisserie. So for a person that doesn't understand that, it's every piece of hardware, every item off the car.
Nut and bolt.
Not a paint job and a motor. It means everything off of it.
Yeah. Well, that car is stunning.
Thank you.
And do you still own that car?
I do.
Okay.
Yeah. It's attached to me wherever I go.
Yeah. Wow. Well, and it should be. Now, what is the other one next to it, yours too?
That is a – That what that is a good guys car show deal. That's one that's
66 Chevelle.
It's a 66 Chevelle that's went out and just won like the McGuire's Award. It travels around, so it's here today getting a bath, and then it will go to Nashville for another good guys event. So
these are your vehicles, and how many vehicles do you have that have those type of awards?
So that is for a friend of mine, and if we build it like that, a driver car that we build would show. But when we build one purpose-built to go, it goes to win shows.
Okay. So and you have multiple trophies and awards for those vehicles that you...
Oh, yeah. Can I just go ahead and speak for you?
There you go.
Yes, absolutely. Okay. I mean, not multiple, but multiple.
Rooms full.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah, that kind of thing. So Jeff and I met at the Autorama.
We did that or at one of Craig's notorious events. Somewhere in there.
Yeah.
It means there was liquor involved.
It's a fuzzy.
It must have been one of Craig's because I met you at Autorama, and it was shortly after one of Craig's things. So
well, why is it when you mention Craig's name, there's always notorious or debauchery involved?
Because that's
it goes with the territory.
It does go with the territory. You know, Craig has been a close friend of mine since the 1970s.
Oh boy.
Yeah. You're not old enough, but and that's probably a good thing, because if you had known him back in the 70s, you probably wouldn't be sitting here looking like you are today.
I don't think I would have survived.
You would not have. I can promise you that. I barely did. I'm only 35, but I just look this way because I know him. Yeah.
So when you do these builds like this, part of the battle, though, is finding the parts, the correct parts to go back together with them.
This is how it works. So they have to make the determination if it's going to be something like a Restomod or a Hot Rod or it's a concourse vehicle.
Right.
That sets the tone there, and yeah, it becomes difficult in its own right. The biggest issue is actually aligning what that person's expectations are, what their goals are with it, and somehow aligning that and coming to accord with some sort of semblance of a budget.
I was going to say, with an ability to fund it at what level they want the car to be.
But, you know, from my experience, you know, you go in with a price and somehow, some way, you know, that part, that one part that's so hard to find that you had determined is going to be expensive anyway, well, now it just tripled in price.
So the best thing about what we do is we have done it so many times. We don't just go out and quote you. We just give you somebody else's comp. We just literally, we take the invoice and forward it to you. It's much easier to see. I'm not going to give you just an idea. I'll just, here, this is what this guy paid. This is very similar to what you're trying to do. And then when it's something that's so far outside of the box, you just tell them, you got to pay to play. You're going to do that. It's a by-the-hour affair.
So do you find the expense greater at the Concours restoration or at some of the wild restomodding that's being done right now?
The restomod stuff is a series of change orders and customization, and everything's $1,000 or $5,000 added. Everything stacks to make custom parts.
Because some of it's never been done before, so you've got to develop your own way to put
it together. Right, so we have full prototype ability. We do sheet metal fabrication, like full custom like paneling and all that. We make trim out of, so I'll make a piece of trim for Mr. Bierman. For Speed and Sport, and we'll actually fabricate all the trim, and then he'll plate it. So we do a lot of that.
So if your budget's got a weak constitution, you're
you
upfront.
Probably, yeah, the wrong
find
type
it,
of deal.
Find a different
but,
place to
but
do it.
Part of what my guys do is you have to assess that. The initial assessment is really key. And so you get that person and you tell them, look, what you're trying to do here is not possible at X amount of dollars.
Right.
It's just, you're just not.
You're not in the ballpark.
Right.
Yeah. You can do this, but I'm not the guy to do this for you.
Yeah. Right. And that's fair. So to your point about original parts, yeah, it gets real difficult. When you're buying, let me think about this. We were doing a gullwing Mercedes last year and a transmission core, just like one that didn't have a crack, just a core laying on the ground, a pile of junk, or $25,000 for a tranny core.
What?
Well, you start getting at $5,000, $20,000 increments of little pieces. You obviously, it doesn't take long to get six figures worth of parts. Or then now we're at $200,000, $300,000, $400,000 worth of stuff. So a basket case car like that you're trying to bring back, you should have just bought the best one you had. And now the caveat there is, well, this is my dad's car. This is a family member's car.
Oh, there's some emotion involved.
That person with that sort of emotional you can't tell them. You can't tell them no.
So as you're building a wide range of cars and you're kind of collecting parts, there's coming on, going off kind of stuff. So I'm assuming somewhere you have a warehouse that you've inventoried leftover, not to call it leftover stuff, but leftover stuff that you might use on that next project that's coming and going.
We try to give the parts back to the client. They get first option with all the stuff. If there's something that we think could be valuable for somebody else's, yeah. But that's obviously an upfront deal. You tell the guy. You're not – that's a no-no in the business would be to, you know –
keep it, not let them know. Right.
If they don't want it, it's fine. They say throw it in the trash, then we decide what to do. But the facility itself is about 35,000 square feet of, you know, full build, and then there's tiers of parts going up.
Jeff, how did you get into this? Well, I've never asked you that question. I don't know that about you.
Lying and cheating.
If you know,
that'll get
Craig
you into
Beerman,
a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Craig taught me a lot. A lot about love and life.
Oh boy.
Yeah. But no, seriously. I mean, is this one of those high school things that you just kind of developed over the years?
I was like the Lincoln Log kid, and then the Rector set and Legos and all that.
I loved the Rector sets; they were great.
Lincoln Logs.
Yes.
Yeah.
So by the time I was 12, I had found a guy down the road that actually had ran Foyt's pit crew, and that gentleman allowed me to go into the shop, and then I learned about head porting, motor building from there. By the time I was 16, I was building complete cars myself, like full outs. And then from there, it was I had a helper and a guy, and then it just volumetrically grew from there.
So, did you go to school?
I did go to school.
You had time for school.
I went to U of H. Yeah.
Did you really?
I owned Classic Cars of Houston when I was taking a full load.
So obviously you are one of those kind of guys that Peter Miles was describing about his dad.
Mm-hmm.
That it was driven, like Craig, all the time, all out.
Craig and I, this is like a program about Craig. So
it really is.
Craig, tune in tomorrow for.
So Craig is now in his mid-60s, and he is still pushing 18-hour days. I know this because he and I talk at 5 a.m., and he pushes throughout, and, I mean, he's a machine. And a lot of times he is goal-oriented in what he wants to do, and it makes you a polarizing figure, and I understand that. They love you or they hate you, but you're on a mission. And that's.
But you're going to call him when you need something done that's in his realm of doing.
Get on the train. On the train or get off. Yeah.
Yeah. No. Craig's he's you know, God love his son. He's got shoes to fill.
If anybody could fill Craig's shoes.
It's a tough deal. But the guy's a machine.
Yeah. And, well, obviously you are too. You're doing 18-hour days.
Yeah.
And did in college. And it seems to me that you're one of those driven guys.
It takes that.
Yeah.
So at your shop, 40,000 square feet, how many technicians do you have?
25.
And they all have their specialized field and live in their specialized field? Is there very much cross-training going on?
Okay. You're absolutely correct. There are things that lend themselves that there's some synergy. Like a person that does fabrication that's doing mechanically orientated fabrication where they're putting engines and transmissions where they did not belong, that person is sort of bridged into being like mechanical work too. Mm-hmm. So there's mechanical fabrication. So certain things bridge. the upholstery guy is probably not going to be dropping a motor in, conversely. So there's bridge points for all of that.
But he has to cross a little bit with the guy that's putting the interior.
At least understand what's
the
metal work.
So, okay. So a guy that does upholstery probably needs to know how power windows works and some rudimentary understanding of electrics, right, so that he can get a panel on that doesn't collide with a window mechanism. Something like that, or this the power seats. Yes, there's always a bridge, but yeah, upholstery and the engine builder are building exhaust. Probably not the same guy, but do they float around?
But
yeah,
there is some.
Give me something that you've got in the shop right now that is easy to do, and something that has been a real challenge to do. Easy first.
Easy is a 65 Mustang or something like that. My guys have – there's a guy that oversees and runs the shop. And if Bill gets a Mustang, he has a menu. That's very, very
well, there are
easy.
Lots of parts available
there's
for Mustang.
There's a plethora of parts. We are the Roush installer and builder for, like, if somebody wanted a Roush conversion, mm-hmm, that's what we do. So we have a really heavy relationship with Roush.
Is that a licensing thing or just they give you gratis to do that?
It's not even a licensing thing, but I think we're working on something soon. Don't tell the Shelby guys.
But you've proven yourself worthy to Roush that they
or they wouldn't be doing it.
Absolutely. We have at this point almost a 2-decade relationship with them.
Wow.
But even that's a very easy one for us because there's a recipe for it. A more difficult one would be we are taking a 65 Lincoln using Corvette-derived C6 or C7 Corvette-derived suspension, an IRS, cutting the unitized body out of it, building an entire frame, floating it over that frame, and then running like a Roush supercharged 700 or 800 horse motor in that with a 10-speed new Ford tranny. That's a little more difficult.
Now, who dreamed that up?
I did.
I was going to say because that's
so it's kind of like throw all these ideas in a bowl and pick them out.
It's from his erector set days.
It is just as what we used to call.
So this is
kit
your
bashing.
Car.
No, it's a client's.
It's a client's car.
They
kind of gave
me
you the freedom of your head.
Well, so what it is I listen to what they want to do with it, and when they tell me they want to drive across country in it, and I think a rebuilt Lincoln, and he's going to be broke down on the side of the road with an old motor. I love classic stuff. I know how to work on it, and I know where to get the gas, and I'm running race fuel in it or something. You can't go and run ethanol in that running through a carburetor.
Right.
These are things that the people in this crowd know. But a guy coming off the street that has zero mechanical knowledge and just thinks it's cool to have a 65 Lincoln with suicide doors, I can assure you he does not want to know about any of that. He likes the look of it.
I'll give you the money. You give me the keys. And trust that I'm going to be able to drive from here to
pretty
LA.
It's a transactional deal. So I know I'm going to get a warrantied motor, something he's going to get in and not overheat in. And maybe he's going to abuse it, but I know it will take the abuse because it's got billions of Ford's dollars in engineering putting that through. And the same thing with the suspension. I know that he's going to safely get there with gigantic brakes and something that's going to steer and handle good enough for however fast. So he's not undulating down the road.
So some of it.
And if he's going across country, even if he breaks down in Yuma, Arizona.
Write that down.
Yeah, write it down.
That's next week's word.
Undulating.
Undulating.
If he gets out in Yuma, Arizona, going across country or something and breaks down, then he's got access to some parts because you've put newer stuff on it.
Absolutely. You can hook a Ford. You know, we don't have technicians now. We have guys that plug in scanners.
Computer techs.
I want something he can use with the Ford harness now that we have chips again, somewhat. We have some chips.
Almost.
So we can.
Well, the chips are in the laptop, and he could rewrite them.
We got delayed again on that whole deal with Ford because if you've seen anything where they had to cut damn production 25%.
Oh, yeah.
We're
fighting right now as well.
I need that same animal.
Oh, gosh.
And that goes, and we're using the same computers because we're using OE. I mean, why would you not use their billions of dollars of
their research money? Yes.
So you use some template pieces to build these spaghetti mishmash of things because you're using the crate motor, the electronic package that goes with it, the electronics of the transmission that go with it, and then try and fit it in.
Remember Checker Cab would use the most robust parts from any piece of any. They would kit bash it and use the best OE from this so they could basically build a tank.
And they did.
And they wanted the most robust because you kill your cycle times or you're broke down, nobody's making any money.
And right. Don't tell anybody, but Rolls-Royce did too when they were running GM 400 what? Transmissions and General Motors Saginaw Power Steering Systems and GM.
Okay, that's enough.
air Ford, conditioning systems.
The Ford transmission 10-speed right now is a hydromatic.
Is a shared transmission.
Who does Ferrari go to? They use GM for electromagnetic suspension.
Right.
And
who did GM use but ceramic brakes from the Ferrari?
Yeah, it's just life in the big city.
Well, we're moving toward the skateboard option with all the EVs and things. That's where this is going.
So, speaking of that, let's cross that bridge right
okay.
now, shall we? EVs, there's going to be a plethora of them coming out here in the next year or two. Well, in the next 2 years, it'll be oversaturated. We won't have enough charging ports to charge them all up. And forget the infrastructure as far as the power plants are concerned, because that's a whole nother story.
Or forget your cable to plug it in.
Yeah.
Has anybody asked you to do an EV build? Because now, is it Tesla is making an EV swap unit?
We have been
crate
asked,
motor, for lack of a better phrase.
Well, even GM's got, they had done one for SEMA show, they had done an EV Blazer. And so, yeah, I'm ready. I'm excited, actually. I'd like a little bit more range, and I'd like to see what comes out in the next couple of years. But some people are going to be – there's definitively people that are packaging crate-style right. options soon. And right now, I mean, it was just like when people were racing the Teslas. It was like, well, what do? We make it lighter.
Yeah.
Drop all the weight out, gut it, and just – I mean, and go.
Hammer down.
So, yeah, there was a gent that I had heard about that was already taking basically just some of the Tesla pieces and just throwing them into cars. I'll wait till there's a few more people that have packaged up a few things. It's just like when fuel injection was real dirty and difficult. Now it's super, super easy and makes it – and reliable. You don't want to get into something and then now you're liable for battery fires, things like that.
Right.
I just – you know, it's –
thermal
that
events.
That the fire department exactly. doesn't know how to put out.
Yeah, yeah.
Thermal
yeah.
events.
We talked to – who was it? We talked to out in Long Beach. He was doing that with some, like, early C1 Corvettes and things. He was converting them into EV-type status.
Yeah.
I'd like it to get beyond – I don't think it's novelty now. It's too far gone. It's beyond that. But in terms of what we do, actually taking that, cannibalizing a bit of it, and then using it in another build, yeah. I'm not ready for it yet.
You
I'm
want
close.
A little bit more of a proven template to import into your builds.
I do, and I think our wheelhouse is really the custom fabrication and the neatness of it and making it look like it belongs there. I don't want to be the guy inventing the EV technology. I'm not going to be the guy that's making the battery life longer. That's not our wheelhouse.
Well, you've got so many other things going on. Why would you? Let somebody else do that and then take advantage.
I stay in my lane.
Yep.
So what are your thoughts on how watching these auctions now that the Restomod cars are going for two and three times the price
Let's
talk about that one Kevin Hart bought the other day. What was it, $850,000 for that C1 Corvette?
Yes. Yep.
Yeah, I mean, when people tell me now, they're like, well, I don't want to affect the value of my six-cylinder Mustang.
Yeah,
I was like, well, I hate to tell you this.
It already has.
But, I mean, we're not talking about gold
wings.
It's a
six-cylinder. Yeah.
You know, that does apply in certain vehicles, but I think that the Restomod goes right back to the guy that he doesn't actually want to know about how the car functions. He doesn't care about any of that. He just wants it. He likes the way it looks.
Right.
And he wants to get in and it work like his car that he drove there in. Yeah. And there's the disparity, the dichotomy between those things is very, very vast. Your average guy that comes in that's 45, he grew up in cars that from the 80s and 90s. If he had something from the 80s, it's even doubtful. And so... How's that feel?
The 80s. Are there any cars from the 80s still running?
There's five of them.
Five. I was going to say, because I don't know of any. I think they've all met the crusher.
I like to look for things like those – what was the predecessor to the Chrysler 300? The Concorde, things like that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
Dodge Durangos. You can't find them. They're just there. They're not in the wild anymore.
Yeah, you can find an Oldsmobile Cutlass, but the old 80 – the front – early front-wheel drive 88s and 98s, they're all rusted out.
Deuce and a quarter.
Jeff, it's great to have you here. It's great to talk to you. Thank you very much. And I see that you're just right across the way.
Right across the street.
Looking at you.
Yeah, we're looking at you.
Kind of like being at Autorama again.
Jeff Pate, Classic Cars of Houston. Thanks again. We'll see you at the next show.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you very
much. Thank you very much, sir.
All right, time now for our events calendar. And I know that there are things going on the events calendar, and Conrad has that.
Things in the rain. So, again, biggest thing to know is tomorrow is Keels and Wheels again here at the Lakewood Yacht Club. And then, again, the American Muscle Car out in Spring on 99. All of the Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday stuff at, Freddy's Steak Burgers. next Saturday is going to be Liberty Cars and Coffee, and that's the second Saturday of every month. And then Sunday, May 9th, is HPD's Twin Peaks meet down in Webster. Then on the 15th is Crawfish and Cars at Second Baptist Church in Katy. Let's see, there was one of the others I really wanted. Oh, and Cars and Coffee at the Kung Fu Tea House in New Caney.
There you go.
It's Cars, Coffees, and Puppies.
And Kung Fu.
And Puppies. Right. So you can win an award for
puppies
your puppy.
Are always good.
Thank you very much. All right, time now for this hour's car review. Mr. Mars had a look at the 2021 Mercedes-Benz AMG GLB 35123.
4MATIC. You left off the 4MATIC off the
I didn't leave anything
so
off of it. That's all it's going to get.
So we're talking about – this is a new car, and it's really – the way Mercedes-Benz says it's placed, it fits in between – a subcompact, or GLA class, and the compact GLC class. So it's kind of in between there, but it's really more of a compact. But that's the way they frame it. It's got a very boxy look, like you're going to see on a lot of other vehicles in that category. The wheels are pushed out to the corners, but it's also got that AMG look to it. Now, we had a night package on it, so it's got a front splitter is different. The grille, the trim work, it's got louvers in the outer air intakes. It's got panel inserts on the side of it that are designed for that AMG package, and it's all black. It is blacked out all around. Power folding side mirrors, LED headlighting, rain-sensing wipers, all the things you're going to expect from a Mercedes-Benz, and plus some for the AMG side of it. Power liftgate. We had the optional 19-inch AMG 10-spoke wheels. Again, blacked out. Real nice black look to it. All four corners. And so, and when you get into the inside of it, and this is where you kind of look at the sides of it and you kind of wonder, but with the wheels pushed out to the corners, you got a little more interior room than you might expect. We had the leather and suede upholstery on the seating of it. Had some nice red seat belts on it that was kind of different.
Standout.
Heated front seats on it. Had 10.25-inch touchscreen as well for all your convenience controls, and a 10.25 digital instrument cluster so the driver could keep up with everything. Split folding rear seats. And it had a very upright seating position. You always felt like you were upright and you could see out of it really well. And under the hood, we had a 2.0 inline four with 302 horsepower.
Nice.
AMG all the way around, 295 pound-feet of torque, 8-speed performance 4MATIC. EPA says you should be getting about 21 in the city, 26 on the highway, and 23 combined. This is a little hot rod. I gave up on trying to keep up with that. It does have a firm ride, though. And in the long run, though, like coming to Houston 100 miles or so, it can wind out, and it's not too bad. If you're looking for something to compare this to, because it's so new, maybe an Audi 3.0T Premier Quattro Sport up around 52.9, or a BMW X4 up around 51.6. But you can get a base GLB 35, and if you get the AMG version of it, which is automatically going to come with the 4MATIC, which is their all-wheel drive version, it'll start at $49,500. Now, we had a couple of little options to go on top of that. So MSRP is tested for this brand-new vehicle out of the box. It's $55,590.
Oh, that's not bad. I was waiting for you to say
I was surprised once I saw the Monroney on it.
On that horsepower, how much of that did you use?
I used every bit of it. It winds up at about 5,800 RPM.
So a pretty nice unit.
It really is. I mean, for... Good touch. I should have caught that myself.
Touche.
So, anyway, that's my review of the 2021 Mercedes-Benz AMG GLB 35 4MATIC all-wheel drive vehicle.
Dear
and
God.
If you're looking for something in that category and you want something maybe a little nicer than some of the others and that's a little hot rod, check it out.
Doo-dah.
Go look at this unit.
All right. We're going to look at that unit. Hey, the In Wheel Time Car Show streams on Facebook, YouTube, and InWheelTime.com. Podcasts are available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher Radio, iHeart Podcast, TuneIn, Google Podcasts, Pandora, Amazon, and Podcast Addict, among others. The In Wheel Time Car Show continues right after a quick break.
I'll tell you about a locally owned and operated group of dealerships called Bayway. Bayway owner Daryl Wisniewski is born and raised right here, and he knows Houstonians better than anyone.
Bayway Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram, Bayway Lincoln, and Bayway Chevrolet are managed by Lincoln Stahl. And when you get to know these guys, you'll want to become part of the Bayway family too. Feel good that you're part of Houstonian-owned Bayway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram.com, Bayway Chevrolet.com, and Bayway Lincoln.com. Remember the name, Bayway. Houstonian-owned Bayway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram has the most sought-after models in the Houston area today. When you're in the market for a new or used vehicle, you now have a place to go. General Manager Lincoln Stahl guarantees Bayway will beat any competitor's written price on the new vehicle you choose or pay you $1,000. Bayway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram is easy to get to on Highway 225 near Beltway 8 in Pasadena. Whether it's online or in person, you're welcome like one of the family. Bayway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram.com. That's it for this podcast episode of the In Wheel Time Car Show. I'm Don Armstrong, inviting you to join us for our live show every Saturday morning, 8 to 11 a.m. Central on Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, and our InWheelTime.com website. Podcasts are available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeart Podcast, Podcast Addict, TuneIn, Pandora, and Amazon Music. Keep listening, and we'll see you soon.